Welcome in, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here. We are live on our first Monday of football season, officially. It is week one, JC.
You know what I think now that Mascot Monday.
I like Mascot Monday.
Mascot Monday, dude. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit. First, the news of the day, though.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't talk about it in the old show or the previous show because we're talking a little ball there. Mm-hmm. Always good to talk a little ball with Mike and get his perspective on the weekend's games. But this is very, very important.
That's right.
Flint has returned to the McKellar Enterprises chat box.
Welcome back, Clint.
We had a discussion about you last week, I think. And I remember, and I was like, where is Clint? Because I started noticing you were gone. Then I remember you saying, I'm taking a break from the preseason.
Yep.
And look, Clint, mad respect.
For sure.
Mad respect for sticking to your guns.
You were going to shut it down, and you sure did, buddy.
You shut it down like a champion. And so, but we're glad to see you back in the chat box, obviously. And I've missed your about. We've had high school football the last couple of weeks. And you usually go to a game or have some player you've seen, and I've missed it. Mm. So, by goodness gracious, it's good to have you back. So, Clint's back in the chat box, and all is right with the world.
That's right. That's right.
And he's over there interacting. And I guess we're wide open today.
We are wider open than normal because we are also streaming live on Gamecock Central's YouTube page. Which is why it's wide open. So we're going to do wide open Mascot Mondays since Wes Mitchell is in with us on Mondays, and then it'll be wide open Wednesday as usual with Chris Clark also joining us on
the show. So on the Gamecock Central. Okay, I got you there.
I figured not going to close off one since the other one is wide open. And apparently, as some people have discovered, their commenting permissions are a little different than ours, we'll say.
Oh, gotcha. Interesting. All right. So, So Clint says, I've intentionally ignored all practice reports except injury info. I want to go into the season with zero preconceived notions. Yeah, I love it. I mean, respect the heck out of that.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. So, that's good. Matt says he hopes LSU players play an ineligible player, get a postseason ban. So, they're supposed to go back to court, I think, this week and see what happens. I don't know.
Who knows who's eligible and who isn't coming into this season? You know, it's just, but I don't share JB's non-petty Dabo in a loss. I feel like we're going to hear about NFL players win or lose.
I mean, because that sounds like that some
platform and he's going to say something,
especially if one of them makes a play that makes a difference in the game. I don't know how quick there's an acclimation period they have to go through too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think you're looking at but you know what they will be ready for? Ole Miss, their former team.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's that thing. I mean, both of those schools are because of each other. Largely, both of those schools have acted egregious this offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else has kind of behaved. The Ole Miss and LSU just because they hate each other all of a sudden. And they've never really liked one another, but LSU's usually beat them. So it doesn't, Ole Miss has not been relevant until recently. But now it's just like, hate those Ole Miss people. And they're like, oh, I really don't like Louisiana. You know, that kind of thing. Bobby wants to put Amish beer JC into the clown video.
I'm agreeing. Yeah.
John Edwards says Duke is not a pushover football program anymore. Good at football, basketball, women's basketball. Yeah. Softball too.
That's right.
Duke is the new Wake Forest. Wake Forest was pretty good under Jim Grobe and good under Dave Clawson. And actually Wake went to a bowl last year and beat Mississippi State in the Mayo Bowl. So Wake's actually good too. Yeah. Those schools are actually, I mean, they've done a pretty good job. I mean, because they should not be competitive, but they overperform, and I think hiring the right coaches at Duke has been a big, David Cutcliffe put in the work there to get them back to respectability. And then a good hire in Elko, and then Manny Diaz is turning out to be a good hire too. I mean, they won the ACC last year, which people laugh at, but I mean, the only other coach to win the ACC at Duke in the modern era is the head ball coach.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the deal there. Doc says, was downtown Sparkle Vegas, Spartanburg, saw three cranes putting up a new building. The modernization of the downtown of Spartanburg is impressive. Clint says, JC, I just know it had nothing to do with the show in any way. I just needed a big battery recharge. Yeah, I mean, no, oh, yeah. I knew that. I knew it had nothing to do with us. And I was, that's why I like just talked about how much I respected it, because it's hard to stay away. I mean, I can, because it's my job. But frankly, if I were just kind of on the outside after last year, I'd have been like,
I may have taken the same track.
Yeah. Really. It's like, well, to check back in September, but it's September tomorrow, so that's good. Clint says, as far as mascots outside of Cocky, I'd say Sparty would be my other favorite. I like Sparty.
Sparty's a good one. He's a humanoid that isn't that, you know, that doesn't cross over into weird like his counterpart down there in Indiana with Purdue Pete.
But what we'll do, we'll go through like the opponent's mascot of the week and talk about it. So that's good. Mascot Monday. Matt says, I'm going to pull for Virginia in the ACC. They look good. I liked it. The Croc says, nothing beats the gobble, gobble, gobble at Virginia Tech. Hokie Bird he's Cocky-esque.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a little bit like Cocky. So. Ghost Flame says, acclimate. They've been playing in the NFL. They're acclimated. Yeah, but I think you still got to go through the rules. How stupid is that?
I know. It's so stupid.
The Croc says, do you think with the SEC stepping back, there's something else going on behind the scenes to stop the players coming back? I think the SEC feels they'll win in court. So they're going to go. It's either in Texas or Louisiana. They're going to go fight. They're going to go before the judge and explain why. That the judge is wrong or the, and I'm telling you this right now, if you look on X and you see Tom, there's an attorney named Tom Mars who gets involved in this kind of stuff. He thinks the SEC is in the right. Okay. And if you look at the attorneys for the players, it is shady, dude. It's like the Texas players something. And then the law offices are in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I saw that.
One guy, and they're kind of trolling Tom Mars on Twitter, calling him a Democrat and stuff. I'm like, I don't have their voter registration information, sir, but I think most of your clients or some of them are probably Democrats. I mean, you're not going to have no Democrats in that group, probably.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know why you're – and so I don't know what's going on, but I think the SEC will end up having better lawyers. And I think the minute Louisiana judge or Texas judge or whoever says, no, let them play, they're going to move it to federal court in Birmingham, Alabama.
Right. Just move it straight on in.
Venue change. And it is sad in our country that venue and judge mean so much. You see it in politics all the time.
Yeah.
Whoever appointed them is just going to rule one way or the other. That should, the judiciary should never be that way. But it is. And with something like sports, it's not, you know, it's a big deal, right? It's an American institution. I understand all that. But, man, judges have other things to worry about, like criminals and important civil matters. And, you know, they're kind of the ASO soccer. Well, I'll let them play. What the heck? Just let them play. So, well,
it's fortunate that it is the conferences, though, in my opinion, because you're not going to be able to, you know. There is no monopoly, right?
You're not like, going
to
say antitrust.
No. Yeah, no, it's like, okay, well, then go play for the Big Ten. You don't have to play here at LSU.
Play in this conference. Big Ten has a rule, too, though.
I'm sorry.
And it's really like in the SEC, it's really just like one school pushing the envelope. I don't know. Blake says Sankey goes to the stand Thursday. The rosters are due Friday. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that'll be crazy. Bryce Kirk says, I remember last year when Clemson lost, all they had to say was how bad of a person Brian Kelly is. I don't know that Brian Kelly is a great person.
I don't know if they weren't wrong, but you know, it's not game analysis.
I think with Brian Kelly, like, it's interesting because it's like he threw Notre Dame under the bus and backed up some really, I think, narratives about Notre Dame that I haven't always bought into completely. You know, like, oh, they can't recruit because they can't get the talent. They can't get the talent. I think they have the talent. And I think it just takes the right coach to get the talent. And come to find out, LSU never got better talent-wise under Brian Kelly. When you're LSU and you have problems at D-tackle, then that's not LSU football. I mean, there's so many defensive tackles in Louisiana and I-10 corridor from Houston to Mobile. I mean, at the very least, you should be able to be good at D-tackle at LSU, and they're not. That's because Brian Kelly couldn't really recruit. You know, Lane Kiffin's going to be able to recruit there, but and it's kind of funny. He kind of blamed his recruiting failures on Notre Dame and same level roster at LSU, honestly, that he left behind at Notre Dame. So, yeah, that's interesting. Clint says, along the lines of some favorite mascots, what uniforms outside of ours are your favorite? This won't be a popular opinion, but I like UCLA's blue and gold. Sissy UCLA's, blue. Yeah, this is we're going to go beat that sissy blue. And then they lost.
Dude,
poor Coach O. I like UCLA's combos. Man, did I see a good-looking uniform this weekend?
I didn't really notice one this weekend. Just a couple of interesting choices. I don't know if I'm a big fan of the UVA orange, like diving headlong into the orange jersey. Not for me.
Dude, they're back in the day, like in the 80s, they played Carolina. George Welsh. They had just solid white helmets, I think, with a stripe on them.
Stripe and the V.
There's no V. It was just a white helmet.
Oh, yeah, right? That's right. Yeah.
It was just a white helmet. And then I think they had orange uniforms then. Then I think they changed it and they started emphasizing the blue, and those were sharp.
Yeah, I liked the blue with the white and orange trim. That's the Virginia I have in my head, you know? Like, yeah, I don't know.
John Edwards says NC State is not good. They weren't, but you know what? They weren't good at the big. I mean, they're going to end up winning between 6 and 8 games.
It felt like North Carolina State was playing the same game that we saw them almost lose to Western Carolina a couple years ago. You know, it's like that's just what it came out as, flat, and as opposed to it being a lower level team, it was a team that almost won the league last year. So not good.
Roger's in the chat box. Roger, I didn't see the final for Woodruff versus Fountain Inn the other night, but Woodruff was way up. I'm assuming they won. So congratulations to the Wolverines on a 2-0 start. One of his bosses when he worked at Greenville went to Kent State. He will probably be at the game because he went to Clemson to watch Kent State at Clemson years ago. He and his family will be the 4 Kent State fans there. Phil says, don't sell your tickets to them.
Well, they already live here, so that doesn't.
Oh, matter. They're not transplants.
Yeah, if they're already residents, I should have clarified.
Eric says, JC and Phil, do you guys prefer the black cage or the train for the pregame cocky entrance? This I don't know. It may be controversial.
I'm not sure.
I'm agnostic a bit about it. I don't mind the train.
I don't either.
Obviously, grew up seeing the black cage. The train's kind of cool.
Because you incorporate your celebrity starter in there, too.
And yeah.
You get to hide that for the last minute.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a surprise. I get it. Yeah. What does everybody else think? What does everybody else think? Pimona Blimp says, we must protect this check mark. Matt says he doesn't want Tony Elliott to go back to Clemson, but they'll want him. Well, yeah, that's his alma mater, too. He's a Clemson man. You know, he went to Clemson. So, Quantrill says, Mascot Monday, let's start with Purdue Pete, a.k.a. America's original tradesman. At least that's what Google says. But man, in the original days, Purdue Pete was terrifying.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, some of those early iterations of Purdue Pete were even scarier than the one they have now.
Yes, exactly. Nathaniel says, JC and Phil, hope you're doing well. Don't know if you got a chance to watch, but Decker's offense looks solid. They did for Memphis. Memphis, Kevin Decker's at Memphis. Yeah, he's a good offensive coordinator. I'd have been fine with that. It'd have been a little harder to explain with him, you know, because he's not, his name's not Briles.
Right.
You know, now it's taking a lot of, because man, I was just kind of, just for one, like same thing when Muschamp hired Mike Bobo, everybody knew what was going on. But like with BMAC, with Roper, you had to explain, and Roper did not have a good day calling plays on Saturday, by the way.
No.
I've seen that offense before, right? That's right. For most people, they didn't really understand that Roper was, they thought Roper was at Florida the whole time. You know, because I would see people like, well, hey, this year they did, well, they went, Roper lost to Georgia Southern. They're like, nah, that was that other guy. And his quarterback got hurt, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you had to explain all that. Then with Satterfield, you definitely had to explain. And then with Dowell Loggins, you really had to explain. Mike Shula was a little easier to explain just because his name is Mike Shula. Most people are Panthers fans. They remember.
Yeah.
You know, and his continuity. You know, with Kendall Briles, you don't have really – You kind of more just dive into what he does because people know who he is. And then if they don't, you're like, well, look at the Arkansas offense a couple years ago. Okay. An evil Bujul says billable hours is a lock for the Heisman this year. Yeah, I don't like it at all. I just don't like it at all. And I don't have much against lawyers. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are lawyers, but I think there's certain it's out of control.
Yeah.
And live mascots, Clint says, here on Mascot Monday. Hard to beat the Eagle at Auburn. I'd love to see that live. I have a couple of times, and it's majestic. It's very majestic.
Yeah, I like that. So, pretty cool. I think flying in through the stadium. They did that for the World Cup, didn't they, as well? Didn't they do the flying through the stadium
never,
Eagle?
I would never watch that.
No. I wouldn't. I didn't either. That's me asking.
Yeah.
I went to that one soccer match that we had at our home stadium because that was worthwhile.
Going all the way down in the chat box, Ethan's Pauly's Island this week, ready for Saturday. I hate you, Ethan.
Yeah, man.
Clint likes the cage over the train. The train is a little cartoonish.
Yeah.
Michael says, you think we'll see all four running backs Saturday? I like a Gustav. I think so. I think all four of them play. So, John Edward thinks TCU is really going to miss Briles. It's kind of surprising. I mean, Sonny Dykes, offensive guy. Woodruff did beat Fountain End 32-15. Congratulations again. Yeah. An evil Bujul likes train all the way. He votes train. Clint likes classic uniforms. Blake loves Western Kentucky's uniform and the Hilltopper Otto. Oh, it's not Otto. The Hilltopper, the gumdrop looking thing.
Yeah, that guy's. I love that mascot.
Demetric says JC was very interesting seeing all the former 4 and 5 stars UNLV had. Recruiting rankings really don't matter. Yeah, Demetric, recruiting rankings are like odds. Like, you know, the point spread matters, but it basically just kind of tells you, like, you have better odds of doing something. Yeah. There's still a lot that goes into it. So, I mean, you'd rather be favored than not favored. You'd rather have more 4 and 5 stars than not. You always want to have your share of them, right? I mean, there's not a team that's won a championship that's been an underdog in every game, odds-wise, right? So there's not a – you need to have a chunk of blue-chip talent. But as far as the bust rate and all that, and just because they're 5 stars, they automatically make them good? No. Too much goes into it. Very excellent point, though. Excellent point. All righty. Well, the first half hour flew by on our inaugural Mascot Monday.
Yeah.
When we get back, I'm going to show you the terrifying, mysterious Kent State mascot from 1970. I don't know if this would have been able to Holtz was gone by then. Was Nick Saban there at that time? I don't know. But anyway, it's pretty fascinating. Phil's got the photo. We'll be back after this on the show.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Mascot Monday, and there he is. This is Grog. Everybody meet Grog.
All right, so Grog apparently is a caveman.
Yes, from a cartoon, comic strip.
Like it looks a little like Captain Caveman in some ways.
Yeah.
Or you know what it kind of looks like? If Captain Caveman and like the Western Kentucky Hilltopper had a baby.
You're right. You're right, because he's very round, and yes,
very and maybe a little Sweetums from Muppets is thrown in there a bit.
Yeah, because this thing's 8 feet tall.
Eight? Yeah. Look at how tiny the cheerleaders are compared to Grog.
The costume itself weighed 50 pounds.
50 pounds, dude.
50 pounds either all sitting on your shoulders. I don't know. It's constructed of wool. This thing, you know, like this suit might have a body count.
I don't, I mean, it's a little terrifying.
It is a little
terrifying. So there it is in the 60s. It was a little less, oh my God.
Yeah. It actually like got worse.
It
got worse from the 60s to the 70s.
Big Slammajama says it's the Snuffleupagus' drunk uncle.
Truly. Now, what? There is a storied list of mascots here for Kent State.
Okay. Absolutely, man. Yeah. Like, so the first one was just is that a cat or a dog? Or it's a fox.
It's a silver fox.
Then so Golden Flash has appeared. Okay, so just the Gamecocks mascot, a lot of these mascots happened when a newspaper gave them a nickname, and the Kent Stater called them the Golden Flashes. So they became the Golden Flashes. So it became a lightning bolt.
Yeah. And 28. Yeah.
And then 41. What kind of dog is this, Phil?
It's a golden retriever. Yeah, it's a retriever. This is the first of two.
Oh, well, they should have stuck with this. Golden retrievers are really good dogs. I don't understand how the caveman, and it was a weird, well, we have to understand that 1968 at Kent State was kind of a tragic year. I wonder if Nick Saban called up, you know, as a student, was like, yeah, we need to do this mascot, this caveman mascot. It was from the comic strip BC. And I used to read that. Comic strips. Conceived in the spring of 67 by Joe Joyce. Doesn't show up at games till the fall of 68. In the meantime, he requested permission to use the Grog as the mascot. 8 feet tall, 50 pounds, wood supports and furry cloth. My God. Oh, my God. And so a guy that was Grog, Ron DeGrand, is like, it was heavy and hot. I'd be wringing wet after a basketball game. But nobody could figure out what a flash was, so Grog was as good as any.
That's funny. They moved on to horses. And then back to the dog.
Don James, legendary coach, by the way. Won a lot of games, University of Washington. This patch is just not good.
No, it's a terrible patch.
That's a terrible patch. And then they had like this chick, like Sally Horse Rider. That's a noble steed that she's on.
Yeah.
So that happened. And then back to the Golden Retriever.
The dog.
Hey, that's awesome. Then it started getting a little weird. There's a cartoon in tights, and then there's this guy that looks like an actual, like a flasher.
Yeah, Captain Flash, who's wrapped in some sort of...
It looks like he's about to fling his cape open and flash someone. So that's weird. All right, so the Golden Eagle, I guess they had an egg. This is so strange. Oh, my God, this Golden Eagle's horrendous.
Yes.
It looks like that's just awful. It's got people hands and it looks like they just
like muscles.
Looks like a real bird head. So then they went full Auburn.
Yeah. I don't
know what happened there.
That's right.
And then there's like some kind of the 13th mascot, dude. You know, Carolina catches crap sometimes about changing uniforms a lot through the years. Imagine if there'd have been this many cockies.
Oh my goodness.
So this one looks like with the cheerleaders a little too feminine to be a mascot. It looks like a character in like a Chinese opera or something, a little too Asian.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then 14,
that's when it's finally come around.
This is Flash now, like the emoji head, terrible teeth.
2008. And then of course they brought back. Now they have both.
Now they have the live eagle.
And there's a live eagle again.
Okay. So that's probably one of the longer mascot histories that we'll
have. Yeah, this is an interesting one.
Pip on a Blip says it's the gorilla from Trading Places on the train. Yeah. Ghost Flame says some Nevada teams had a great chance to be the Martians or aliens, but passed. Yeah, they're like the Rebels and the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't. Rebels is interesting.
An Evil Bougie says that mascot kind of reminds me of Ryan Day. Yeah. I can see some. So, both from Ohio, right?
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. The in Columbia, Missouri, the Hickman High Cube Pies.
Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah.
That's wild, dude. Wild. This is, Bobby's like, that poor kid just trying to get a little money to help him get through school almost died wearing that 50-pound 34 thing.
That was a basketball game. Could you imagine standing on the damn sidelines at a football game in 90-degree weather?
Yeah, but see, up there, they're like, they pipe the heat into that because it's cold outside.
So that's true. Yeah, later in basketball. The season, yeah.
Basketball season is much longer than football season, too. Like, there's more games that you have to go to. All that. Michael says we need some VHS dates. Yeah, we're at the mercy of VHS dates.
Yeah, I don't know if those are coming back out either now that everybody's on to them.
So I was thinking today about the opener, and you know, I think sometimes because Beamer during his 5 years here, there's been against these lower level teams, there's been some way too close calls. I finally put my retroactive anger about Old Dominion 2024 behind me. That was one. Jacksonville State was one. I think East Carolina his first year was one, but he won all of them. And did you realize this? So it kind of depends on if you count the loss to UConn in the PapaJohns.com Bowl as a group of six loss or group of five loss. It's a group of six now or not. Now, I probably wouldn't, because when they played UConn, they were in the Big East. That was a power league, right?
Yeah.
So I'd probably not. But if you just say that's a current group of five loss. Shane Beamer's the only coach that's coached here in the modern era that has not lost to a lower level team.
Right.
And I thought about this. One of Spurrier's teams he put together, he wasn't coaching them at the time, but his 2015 team did lose to Citadel. And so, you know, I think sometimes we sit here and we go, oh, God, these ugly wins over these bad teams are not good. And they're not. And I think specifically as it relates to openers, I think, too, I'll say it again, it's been the offense. The defense and special teams has actually played really well in most of the openers around here. But it's like you look at it, and the other part of it is, do you know in his first 5 years, Steve Spurrier only scored a .500 on a lower-level team once? Middle Tennessee, and you wouldn't have expected that. I didn't expect that. There are a lot in the 40s, you know, 45, 6, 38, 16, things like that. But that was interesting. That was interesting to dive into it. I did not expect that. But Will Muschamp obviously lost to App State and lost to South Florida. You know, Spurrier, is UConn the loss? I don't know. You know, he did pretty well beating the teams he should. Lou Holtz lost to East Carolina his first year, but also did pretty good beating the teams he should. Brad Scott lost, three times to East Carolina and once to Marshall at home. Sparky Woods famously lost to the Citadel. Joe Morrison lost to Navy. Dude, Jim Carlin, well, Richard Bell lost to Furman in 82 in his first only glorious year. Jim Carlin, over a span of like 3 years, lost twice to Hawaii and once to Pacific. The year Jim Carlin, in 1975, there's a very famous win over Clemson. A lot of the legend around Gamecock. I mean, this was before I was born, obviously. But the legend around the state is Carolina beat Clemson when they had Jeff Grant so bad. Like, they beat him 56-20 at Williams-Brice. That Clemson started kind of putting out the cheddar. And started, oh, we're just not going to lose to them like that.
That's right.
And that's a very famous game. That team also played in the Tangerine Bowl. It was one of the handful of bowl teams in program history. Pretty good team, right? They lost at home to Appalachian State and lost to Miami of Ohio in the bowl. I mean, there are teams in there that beat Georgia, but then lost to whoever. I mean, I didn't realize it had happened as much as through the years. But Beamer hadn't lost one. He almost did. Couple times. I mean, but he's 13-0. But I put him into categories terrifyingly close.
Right.
and that's Old Dominion, Jacksonville State. That was a 10-point game, it ended up being, but man, that was terrifyingly close. And then which one? Oh, East Carolina on the road his first year. South Carolina was better. As flawed as that team was, they were better than East Carolina. They just screwed around. I think Juju McDowell saved the day that day. And then there's ugly ones, but wins. You know, Troy, the 23-14 game, that Georgia State game where they had to block punts. You know, they've been a lot in that category. And then there's ones where they've just blown them out. I mean, yeah. 56 against Wofford, 51 against Coastal last year. And they've scored half a hundred a bunch six times. That's 13. So I don't know that the narrative about Beamer as struggling in openers is anything but offense, right? Considering it's been the special,
that one.
Special teams and defense has been come out of the chute pretty good. Which I think you would rather have that feel than a team that comes out every year and, you know, they clearly have not been tackling or anything.
But we see a lot of teams that will wipe the floor with their early opponent, and then they get a little deeper into the season and
take the over. Yeah. I think I would rather be good in those two phases and then fix the other. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm not just saying, oh, well, they should be bad on offense, because somebody's going to interpret me and say that. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if I had a, you know, I think that it's, let me kind of rephrase. It's not good if you have a special teams dumpster fire week one and set that precedent and your defense can't stop anybody, right? It's more correctable with offense, because offense sometimes execution, timing, you got to gel on the offensive line, that kind of thing. I'm not excusing any of the offensive performances around here at openers at all.
No,
there's no, because there's no excuse. The Old Dominion, I set them over it. Deputy Smitty in the chat box, by the way. He said, we were up on Troy at the half, 56-0 in 2010. That was a fun half. It was, dude. And if you think about it, Deputy, here's what, you know, number one, Troy will, I mean, ask Clemson about Troy. Last year, Troy had them, what, down at halftime?
Yeah.
And the first national championship year, it was either that year or the first year they played for it, they ended up playing in the final game. They beat Troy 30-24 at home. Troy beat LSU and Ed Orgeron at LSU. I mean, Troy is dangerous. Carolina had just gone to the Swamp, knocked off freaking Florida by 22. They're going to Atlanta. You got the big Clemson game the next week. And Carolina just mopped the floor with them. 69-24 and up 56-0.5. It was something else. Eric Reese says, have y'all seen the Dejan Love story? If not, check it out. I have not.
Phil? No.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's talking about.
No, I am not either. Nope.
So, who leads the team in tackles this weekend? Krager says, Fred Johnson. Ghost says, I think so many people will play, the numbers will be spread all over. So, linebacker would be my guess, but which one, I'm not sure. Krager says, watch it be Jalewis Solomon. Roger said, Clemson fans said we couldn't beat Hawaii because we couldn't get over Pacific. Yeah, there was all kinds of little jokes.
Jeez.
Back then. Why don't South Carolina fans eat Cheerios because they've lost all their bowls?
Nah.
Michael says, the name we aren't talking about enough, everyone will know soon as Troy Pikes, his motor is off the charts. Yeah, he's had a good, you know, Beamer the other day was going through, he was going through the D tackles, and I was like, he didn't mention Troy Pikes. And sometimes that's something you need to ask about. If there's a guy that's supposed to be, and you don't hear much about him, because that usually means there's something up. And then he went, Troy Pikes, my goodness. He's like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But Troy Pikes can also play some outside and stuff. Maybe it was Clayton White that said that. I think it's Clayton White.
It was Clayton. Yeah. Cause I was Clayton, thinking the same. I was like, I think Clayton White said the same thing, but that was him. Yeah.
Micah says, hopping on late. Good to see UVA and their fan base fired up. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Those guys are getting fired up about it. So, Lynn was pulling for Troy that day against Clemson. Scout says
the rain delay too. My daughter was at that game.
In Virginia?
Yeah.
Clemson and Troy.
Clemson and Troy.
Oh, yeah. Last year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was week two. Week two.
Yeah, I think it was the same SC State.
Yeah,
at Williams Price. But yeah, they came out of that rain delay and beat the crap out of Troy.
Quantrill says he wants to see Cutter Woods play the spring game from a year ago. Has him intrigued? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, from what we've heard too, is that he's even developed even further now. So,
yeah, they're a little more confident about the backup quarterback situation. I think it's good to get the guys in there.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping we get at least a couple drives of Cutter this weekend.
You know, Micah says, don't believe the lies. So many non-brands can find the right coach and get the needed investment. I hope Elliott stays with UB at Virginia and builds. I think it would take Clemson to get him. I don't know that he'd take Florida State. Tony Elliott didn't take Tennessee.
Hmm.
I mean, he's been a little selective, and they like Virginia. So Harrison mentions the Virginia offensive line put on a clinic. Yeah. That's crazy. Morgan says, have y'all talked about Jerry Meyer's performance last Friday or quarterback commit? No, I haven't. Phil, look it up. See what he
did. Yeah, let's see.
Ghost Flame says, Dejan Love scammed women out of a $1.3 million pretending to be an NFL player. I have to look that. Matt Jones says, think Browse System's just as much of a fit for Cutter as Lenore's. It is. It is. T Money says, do we see some sequel Patterson this weekend, JC? I'd be surprised if he didn't. Hopefully he gets the ball. I think he may. I think he'll be impressed. My guess is he'll be impressed. If he gets, you know, if he's open and has a chance to maneuver. I mean, he catches a pass in traffic and falls down, or it's a bad pass, maybe not. 400 yards and 6 touchdowns for Meyer, 17 for 23. Yeah, what they really like about him is he is very accurate, and he can make, like, he's a passer. Really good at it, too. So, Micah says, do you think Sellers would consider staying for another year to help his brother rise up? I don't. I think if you're South Carolina, you want him to go pro because that means he's had a good year.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, you know, so, I mean, and that's just in a normal season. You know, if something we're not expecting happens, who knows? So, Quantrell says, Virginia, also called the Wahoos. What the heck is that? It's a cheer they do, Wahoo Wah. It's like War Eagle. Mm-hmm. You know, Wahoo Wah. They call them the Who's, like yeah. The Who Bill.
The Who's.
Quantrell says, why won't South Carolina just go after Xavier Means for Northwestern? He seems like the perfect fit for the Browns system. He's like 5'8".
Yeah.
5'9". Matt says, why are women paying these fake NFL players? They should be the ones getting treated. That's a whole world, man. I tend to try to have a working knowledge about everything.
About every, yeah.
Most things. That's something I can't even figure it out. Dexter says if Virginia keeps running Prebula, he's going to snap his leg again. Yeah, that's the problem there if you run him like that. But they looked really good. Like I said, the physicality was, Virginia is usually not known as that kind of football team.
Right.
But Tony Elliott's going to be the hot name this week. I know everybody kind of, I don't know, man. If he has another good year this year, then I'm down. But it's kind of one good year right now.
Right.
And a win over a team that's I don't know. There's not a lot of life in him. Now, I was surprised. I thought CJ Bailey would make some plays. But
all that preseason hype was, none of that showed up on the field for NC State. I was like, man, there were people calling this a dark horse contender for the national championship.
Clint says, I hope we can flip Trey Segarra. I think that kid is going to be really good. I'm impressed by him.
Yeah, he's good.
I think Cole Bryson, I think, was on Four Quarter Friday the other day, the voice of the Burns Rebels, talking about him. And I think there's a lot of natural athletic ability he has and natural ability to run the ball. But then I also think kind of the secret with him, he's a multi-sport athlete, and he's a elite athlete, like training. I mean, right. Guys like that, like the type of backs you see go to Georgia and stuff and thrive. And I hope the Gamecocks can flip him too, because he's a Burns kid and all that. And but he went out with he and the other back went out with an injury the other night. Dorman beat him 35-21. So SC State, Chinnis Berry, 87-0 over Savannah State. 87
points.
I think Berry is really good.
Yeah.
I do. And then he's, Benedict is, if you talk to people around Columbia, Benedict's not an easy job. He won at Benedict. Slides in, replaces a legend, Buddy Pugh at SC State. He's winning. I mean, they have not. They've actually, arguably, they're better than they were. And he's a winner. And he's a good dude, too. I mean, we're kind of closet South Carolina State fans around here.
Yeah.
Because our man from SC Bulldog Report came on last year. And 87 zip, man, that's a statement. That's a statement. So you're absolutely right. Like, I would hire a coach like Barry over some other folks out there that have good jobs.
Yeah.
So, Pimble and Blim says, I want to go to the game, but me and the wife are going to hit the boat, find a beach, and listen. I don't know, man. It's supposed to be 90. It's supposed to be very. Now they're saying morning thunderstorms in Columbia.
Oh, morning. What do you know? Great.
So it's going to rain out in the tailgate.
Jeez.
And then storms are going to clear out, and it's going to be a sauna.
Oh, yeah, man. Wet ground, be hot and muggy. Oh, woohoo.
Yeah. Clint says, I see what you're saying about Elliott JC. I think the most impressive thing he's done at UVA is keeping that program together after a tragedy. That's not easy to do.
Yeah,
man. And that gets lost. And I apologize because I didn't think about that. And I should have. But that's absolutely awesome. That's absolutely awesome what he's done and getting through that. They're playing like winners, Krager said Chinnis Berry went to Savannah State and they didn't offer him the job. Oops. And he got beat 87-0.
Yeah, that didn't get personal at all, did it?
Bobby says the chat box can field a better team than Savannah State, probably. Oh man, baseball tournament's a one-day event. Travel baseball? I mean, I'm sorry, Bobby. I respect you because you love your children. My kid would not play. If they pulled a last-minute switcheroo on a game day, I'd be like, sorry, this is stupid. So I respect you tremendously, you and the wife there, for going all in on that. I just couldn't do it. I'm like, wait a minute, man. This is last minute. So Shannon Sharp almost caught a stroke when he found out how he got. Clint says, why am I not seeing Krager's comments? I don't know, man.
I know what's happening.
Chat boxes.
Yeah. Craig's in the Gamecock Central chat box, and Clint is in the ITG chat box, which there will only be one chat box tomorrow, which will be the ITG chat box.
Yeah, we're going to fix that. Yeah. So Roger's going to Wade's for lunch. I hate you, Roger. Anyway. All right, Mascot Monday. In the books. That's pretty cool. I like that. So I'm gonna have to do some research on the Towson Tiger now.
Yeah. Who's to say?
To see how that goes. I did want to thank Gamecock Traditions for their sponsorship of our show. Also, Palm Casual. So, JT's Kia of Rock Hill. Reading it off the teleprompter here.
Palm Casual, as always.
And, looking forward for tomorrow. It'll be terrible Tuesday. We're going to dive in more on Kent. We're going to dive in more on the Gamecocks. Week one, all preview, not a lot of review because obviously there's no game this past weekend. But next week, we'll kind of be getting into our normal weekly routine.
Yeah, look back for a day, turn the page. Yeah.
So, Deputy Smitty, Roger's going to be fuller than a tick in a dog's ear after Wade's. Absolutely. Clint sounds like, eat a beer roll for me, Roger. Yeah, it's the yeast. Yeast rolls are delicious. Anyway, for the Mad Dog Phil Mullinax, it's been JC Sherbert inside the Gamecocks, the show. Preston Thorne tomorrow morning. We'll see you then.
Deputy Smitty on our side.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday, so I didn't want to make a mistake, Phil.
Yep, Tuesday, we're good.
Dynamite drop in, Phil. Thank you, dude. Deputy Smitty in on Tuesday. Shane Beamer press conference at the, we'll lead up to that at 1 o'clock. So it should be a fantastic bunch of conversations tomorrow on ITG. Don't forget to go join the BigSpur.com at Gamecock Central. One more week of the special, $29.95 for the year. Ends Labor Day. I think they're definitely ending it this time. So
yeah.
Pay $249 a month for the whole year that you're Izzle. So anyway. And we'll see you tomorrow on the show.